Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back, Sheriff Mark Kreider, all the way from Walla Walla County in Washington State. Also, we have Lieutenant Jeff Winninger, former LAPD commander, now in Ohio, and his new book, On Thin Ice, just got officially released on Tuesday. He's got a special announcement to make at the beginning of the show that he will get to in just a second. He's got the bling. He's got the swag box going out, and he's going to tell you guys how to get hold of some of this cool gear, and he'll be announcing this week's winner. Also, a shout out to our sponsors. We have our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor, and yes, we're on satellite radio right now, thanks to them. AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And yes, we're streaming to about 1.5 million followers right now. Also, TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. We will be giving a giveaway from them. And also, FishOrlandoBass.com. We were just talking about this before the show started. And yeah, Zach has got a bass fishing charter based out of Orlando. So when you're going there with the wife and the kids, guys, you have options. Let the wife and kids enjoy Disney. Let them have a wonderful time while you're out there on a bass fishing charter with Zach. Or if you're feeling adventurous, you can do the alligator hunting, catch and relocate Florida alligators. It's quite the experience. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and also Travis Yates with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these other thieves for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? We got our main stories. The first one's a doozy, weaponized scoops. We got new Russiagate documents exposed the media and the government's collusion. Guys, this is some alarming stuff, and they drug law enforcement into it. Then we got the FBI's Arctic Frost. It targeted 92 GOP groups and individuals, including Charlie Kirk's Turning Point USA. This should make your stomach turn. Then we got Edgewater police officer shot and killed by a clerk at a Circle K gas station in Ormond by the Sea. And in Florida, we got body cam showing a San Francisco officer shooting a suspect who lunged at him with scissors. Drone footage, which is amazing footage, shows a fatal shooting of a 72-year-old who pointed a gun at officers. Did not go well for him. Then we're going to jump back to California. Legislature passes a bill that prohibits law enforcement, including the feds, if they come in the town, from wearing face masks to shield their identities. I wonder how that's going to go with the feds. Then police release body cam and 911 calls before two officers shoot a guy who points a BB gun at them. We got James Comey's daughter. She's suing the DOJ to get her job back. And then St. John's County deputies, they shoot and kill a guy holding a gun after a neighbor reports a suspicious person. So we got a lot of interesting stories that we're going to cover. So without any further ado, without any further ado, let's get Jeff Winninger on. And hey, Jeff, well, how are things going first with On Thin Ice? I know it's got to be like a whirlwind. And on Tuesday, the book was officially released. You're getting ready to start doing your book tours and stuff. How are things going?
Oh, it's going well. I mean, this has been a whirlwind. I've been in a full tilt boogie the entire week. But I couldn't be happier. It was a long journey, the process of writing this book. So it's nice to have gotten it across the finish line. But, I owe a heck of a lot of thanks to, my team that helped me do that, as well as you for giving me the platform to reach a large number of people. So.
You're the talent, I'm just here running the show. Hey, so you've been given some swag away. Can you tell our audience about that? And I think you got a winner to announce too. And matter of fact, I see Betty Dunn is commenting already on Facebook, and she was a winner, I think, 2 weeks ago for the bling that you have going on over there.
Yeah. So what I'm doing is I'm giving away a VIP swag box, and in that box, you get a signed copy of the book, as well as some other gifts that are inspired by the book itself. And we're announcing every week on Thursdays here live the winner from each week. And to enter, it's changed a little bit now that we have the book is live. You now have to go to onthenicebook.com and then enter to read the prologue for free. And that's how you enter. And then you'll be you only have to do it once, and then you'll have the opportunity every week to be selected as a potential winner. So, no further ado, this week's winner is Ron Schaefer, and he's from Palmdale, California, and he's a captain with the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department.
And excellent.
Yeah, before I was a deputy sheriff time ago. I do not know him, but congratulations, Ron.
Yeah, Ron, good deal. So congratulations. And there's only one winner a week, so good deal. Exciting stuff. And what a great way to start off the weekend too. Which is, we're almost there. Congratulations, Ron. And people, again, you can enter by going to onthinicebook.com. Correct, Jeff? That I got that correct? And remember, enter once, and you're automatically entered in. Every week for the drawing. So, guys, let's go ahead and get to our first main story here. We've got a lot to cover. So this is at realclearinvestigations.com. Weaponized scoops: new Russiagate documents expose media and government collusion. So we got to keep a perspective. Well, number one, we tell the news from a law enforcement perspective. And some of the stuff, the reason why it's new is because the information has been declassified. Some of the stuff is back, like in this case, from 2017. I mean, think about that. Think about where we're at, in 2025. And this was like 8 years ago, but we're just now finding out about this. And that's how bad it is. We've had an administration in place that has kept the information secret. We've had whistleblowers that have been coming forward. I mean, even though it's unrelated to this, even our own FBI, our Sheriff Mark Kreider is a former FBI whistleblower himself. But we have whistleblowers that have been coming forward that have been trying to, they were convicted about, I'm talking about in their hearts. They knew there was some bad stuff going on. They came forward and they've suffered hugely for doing that. But in the end, it's good to see that some good things are going on. So recently, according to our article, declassified documents indicate that people close to former FBI Director James Comey and Democratic Senator Adam Schiff, we should all know that name by now, that they were both connected to leaks of former classified information and doing it to prominent reporters designed to portray Donald Trump and his allies as being in league with Russia. So again, this is for people that are close to these two people, James Comey and Adam Schiff. Now, it goes on to say that starting back in 2017, the FBI documents expose how selected Washington reporters, including Ellen Nakashima of the Washington Post and Michael Schmidt of the New York Times, they scored a series of Pulitzer Prize-winning scoops back in 2017 by repeating false and inflammatory leaks during Trump's first term, Trump 1.0, if you guys can believe that. They're getting awards for these fake, fictitious stories that are being put out there intentionally that damage our former, our current president now, but back when he was our former president. Just this should make everybody angry. Much of their reporting had been debunked and shown to be part of a smear campaign by high-ranking officials to undermine Trump, but the identities of the leakers have remained hidden because of the government's apparent unwillingness to expose its own and the refusal of the reporters to identify the people who misled them, in the first place. And they also, of course, misled the American people because we were reading this crap. Now, it goes on to say that new disclosures include previously sealed testimony of an FBI informant who'd worked on the Democratic side at the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Now, when I go to the Intelligence Select Committee, you might remember who the chairman was of that committee, and we're going to get that in a second. But this informant had been there for more than a decade, okay, so more than 10 years, and he told agents that all hell broke loose after Trump's surprising 2016 election win. Now, in February 2017, our informant asserted that Adam Schiff, he was then a House member, that he hatched a plan to weaponize the U.S. intelligence to smear Trump in the media as a Kremlin conspirator with the goal of triggering an impeachment against Trump, which, of course, was successful, right, in doing. Schiff was the ranking Democratic member of the committee at that time. Remember? I believe he was the chairman of that committee, but the ranking Democratic member of that committee. I know he had chaired that committee at one time. I'm assuming that he was chair back then, but regardless, when you have Democrats and Republicans, he was the lead Democrat. The FBI source who considered Schiff a friend told agents that he was called into the 2017 meeting during which Schiff specifically authorized leaking classified dirt to reporters. And they haven't officially given the whistleblower's name, but it's already out there in print. Robert Meinhardt is the name that they're using, who they believe that he was. I mean, we can talk about this, guys, because we've got a new twist on Turning Point USA and stuff. I'll go in and jump to that because we do have a Florida side and Florida connection to this. Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com, they titled their article, FBI's Arctic Frost, and that was an operation that targeted 92 GOP groups and individuals, including Charlie Kirk's Turning Point USA, if you can believe it. And so I know that we're within 30 seconds of taking a commercial break. I'm going to just kind of continue to whet the appetite on this thing. But guys, this is some stuff that should make every American mad. And we want to make sure that we never want to allow this to happen again. So stick with us. This part and the Florida's participation in this on taking care of the problem is going to be very interesting. We got a commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from a lot of different sources. And when you throw the online option, right, it's like the nuclear option. We have all kinds of choices. I mean, it's almost limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, they also have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. And as a matter of fact, we're going to give one away today as well. So hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they'll be your new best friends. I saw yesterday that they have a 20% site-wide sale going on, which is a huge opportunity. Because go to Gauls.com or type in to get more information on that. So check them out, Gauls.com. You'll be glad that you did. Now it's time to talk about, you know, our satellite sponsor, and that is going to be Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And guys, in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats, and that's where MyTech, a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. And their Eagle Protect Nitrile gloves, they offer four-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectants and their sanitizers eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact, and they continue to kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. You can learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, ComplianTechnologies/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. And we're joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County in Washington State and former LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Weninger. Also, he just released his new book on thin ice that we've been talking about. Now, I've been going over two main stories. I've already got one, and we were talking about Adam Schiff and all these declassified documents and with help from whistleblowers that have been willing to come forward, and we found out the weaponization of our government. And now we're in Florida, and we're reading an article from TampaFP.com, but the FBI's Arctic Frost, that operation targeted 92 GOP groups and individuals, including Charlie Kirk's Turning Point USA, if you can believe it. So newly released records from the FBI's Arctic Frost investigation in the efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election reveal that the probe was significantly more extensive than previously known, and it targeted 92 Republican organizations and individuals. The documents were made public by Senator Chuck Grassley and Senator Ron Johnson during an oversight hearing, and they show the investigation went beyond President Donald Trump to include key Republican entities and operatives. Now, I will tell you that a lot of the stuff that's been released has been made it over to its way of the Florida Attorney General. Some of these people thought they were protected because of pardons that were preemptive pardons that were issued by Joe Biden or the auto pen or whoever in the office might have had access to the auto pen. We're not necessarily sure. But if these charges are picked up by the state, all bets are off. They're not protected by an auto pen in that instance, which is why Florida's jumping in the mix on this. Now, the records indicate that the FBI subpoenaed communications and financial data from a wide range of groups, including the Republican National Committee, RNC, Republican Attorney General Association, and Charlie Kirk's Turning Point USA. And according to Senator Grassley, the investigation was a vehicle by which partisan FBI agents and DOJ prosecutors could achieve their partisan ends and improperly investigate entire Republican political apparatus. Now, The subpoena sought to uncover whether the groups and the individuals, whether they had conspired with President Trump to reverse the election results and through various means, such as filing false fraud claims and organizing alternative states of electors, attempted to pressure Vice President Mike Pence to reject the official electoral count. Remember when that thing went down? The revelations emerged during a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing with FBI Director Kash Patel. Grassley, who chaired the hearing, he criticized the infected with politics state of the FBI under their predecessor, Christopher Wray. And so that's where we have it, guys. A lot of revealing information that's now declassified. And I don't know if we should still be surprised with all this stuff going down, but how far down the rabbit hole the FBI, and not just the FBI, some other organizations went. It's pretty alarming, pretty scary. I think that we would all agree that we certainly have to keep this from happening to anyone, whether it's a Republican or whether it's a Democrat in office. I don't want this happening to anybody again. Commentary on this, guys, we got about 4.5 minutes before we get to our second commercial break. And Sheriff, as a former FBI whistleblower, I'd love it if you started us off.
Well, I can tell you just, I was still in the FBI when a lot of this was going on. And the amount of policy and procedure that was violated, having both authored and reviewed numerous FISAs, because I worked on that side of the house for a number of years, the improprieties that were being done were amazing to me. None of my FISAs would have ever survived scrutiny had I done some of the things that they've done. It also shows us that FBI headquarters needs to be not decentralized, but it needs to be basically gutted. We don't run investigations out of FBI headquarters. There's a reason that we don't run investigations out of a headquarters entity. That should be left to field agents, and they should be running those investigations. And I think when you have high level officials both authoring and approving documents for investigations, you're going to run into trouble. And that's why there are checks and balances in law enforcement, whether it be at the state, local, or federal level. That's why we put those policies and procedures in place to remain impartial and to do our due diligence and stay within the confines of the law.
Thank you, Sheriff. Yeah, and spot on. Jeff Wininger.
Yeah, I would say that this really isn't a surprise. I believe that the true and real indictment was the election of last year. People knew instinctively what was going on, and they voted accordingly. So that right there was spoke volumes relative to what people basically already knew. It didn't require the release of these classified documents. But, at the end of the day, moving forward from this point in these tumultuous times in this country, we have to make sure that we look at what is our motivation and how we're going to handle this new reality that we're finding out relative to the release of this information. So is our motivation, is it about power, is it about justice, or is it about what's best for this country moving forward? It's not for me to determine that. Everybody individually has to assess that for themselves. But, I don't think any one of us would argue that there's some healing that needs to be done in this country. In the past couple of weeks, I mean, look at the tragedies that we've seen. And we need to, find a way to bridge some of these gaps and make some decisions that are consistent with facilitating that happening.
I think it's important to point out that, before I understand about the healing. Look, this is Leo Roundtable, right? Because we roundtable things, and I never come in to have a discussion with you guys saying it's my way or the highway. Just like I know you guys don't. If you guys provide enough compelling information, I will pivot, on a position or an opinion that I have, because I don't know everything, and I don't have the perfect answer and solution. I believe in healing, but I also think before we get there, it may get a little ugly. I know a lot of people are having problems with the executive branch's involvement with kind of purging some of the people. I mean, we got an article coming up about Comey's daughter being fired, and she was working for the DOJ, involved in like the Epstein investigation and some other ones. But Trump did not have the confidence in her to be there, especially when her dad was still doing things on social media and putting on things that could threaten his life. So I think it's going to get a little ugly. If we don't purge and fix the problem, it's just going to happen again, either to Republican or Democrat. So I think there's going to be a little bit of uncomfortableness from some people, not necessarily from me, because the way that I'm built. But we're 10 seconds out from our next commercial break, so stick with us. More in a second. We'll be right back. All right, guys. We are introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. You can visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and their Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer. That means that you can start getting your hands on this primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less, but you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County in Washington State, and former LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Wininger, also the author of On Thin Ice, which just came out on Tuesday. Look, we've been talking about the unveiling of some formerly confidential information that's just come to light, and some FBI whistleblowers have come forward, and the weaponization of government, including law enforcement, against people and groups that unequivocally should not have happened against. And we're getting commentary and insight on that. Any further discussion, guys, on the radio portion of the show about those topics? You think that we've exhausted it, or any more? We're good. All right. So guys, there will be more. And it's amazing that we're still finding out about whistleblowers that came forward years ago, and we're hearing about what they said for the very, very first time. So this has been wrapped up by Congress. And anyhow, there will be more that's coming out, and we'll continue to follow on the show. But during the break, the sheriff made a good comment about, a lot of people are critical about law enforcement, policing our own. And look, there are other professions that do this, attorneys and doctors and the system, I think, for the most part, works. And I'm talking about, civilians trying to regulate law enforcement. Look, our system works. We out bad cops routinely. And there's a humanistic side of this. So there's always going to be a human component. If there's a human component, there's going to be we're going to have to weed out some of the ones that simply, can't cut it. And there's also a standard, a higher standard for us, as I believe there should be for those in law enforcement. So that said, like the sheriff said earlier off camera or on the break, no one hates a bad cop worse than a good cop, because they make us all look bad. They make our profession look bad, and we hate it, because by far the vast majority of us, not 100%, but the vast majority of us are in the job. We're good cops, and we're in the job for the right reasons, and we're going to make the right decisions. So that said, let's go on to our next article here, guys, our next story. We have an update one. I don't have a video, and I'm kind of glad I don't have a video of this one. We got Fox35Orlando.com, an Edgewater police officer shot and killed by a clerk at a Circle K gas station in Ormond by the Sea, which is in Florida. So this off-duty Edgewater cop, he gets ambushed and shot. He's killed inside a Circle K gas station. It happened on Monday afternoon. The place is called Ormond by the Sea. I'm not familiar with this location. I want to check it out, but it's in Sheriff Mike Chitwood's vicinity in Volusia County. But he said this guy was assassinated, described the shooting on Monday night in a press conference, citing that there was surveillance video of the moments before, during, and after the shooting. So the shooting was reported about 4 p.m. on Monday at a Circle K gas station in Ormond by the Sea. Sheriff Chitwood said that this officer, he's off duty, identified as Officer David Jewell. He walks into the Circle K, but he's at the convenience store, and he's just buying a hot dog. and he's waiting at the register to pay for it. And the suspect is an employee at the same Circle K and identified as Eduardo Machado. He walks out of the Circle K while the officer's in there, the off-duty officer. He goes into his car. He grabs a jacket from a white Kia, walks back into the store. He walks up behind the officer, and he starts firing shots at the officer. The weapon jams. The guy clears it and continues to fire at the now downed officer. Chitwood said that Machado's gun, well, I talked about the jamming and stuff. There were 10 to 15 shots fired. The officer and the suspect apparently knew each other. Their relationship wasn't clear, but the officer was known by going by Circle K staff members, and because he went there a lot, he lived nearby. And, you know, it's still being investigated, but wow, the officer had joined the Edgewater Police Department, back in 2023, not long ago. Before that, he was a dispatcher, that had great, he had great respect, you know, from the agency. So that's the way that went down. Guys, how important is it to keep your head on a swivel, both on and off duty? I mean, I've been places where people have recognized me. They told me what my wife looked like, what kind of car that I drove. They followed me in shopping malls and stuff. I mean, you know, you never know, especially in today's day and time. Sheriff, your thoughts on this?
This kind of brought back some, it just so happened that yesterday I was looking something up in the state of Wisconsin. We had a local officer that worked for Wisconsin DCI, Department of Criminal Investigations, kind of a statewide agency. He was on one of our task force and stopped at a convenience store gas station on his way into work to grab a cup of coffee. And as he was walking back out to his car, he got robbed at gunpoint. And when they pulled back his jacket, they saw the gun and the badge and just immediately shot him. And so kind of flashback to that, just not a good situation. And you got to be aware this day and age. I chastise my guys and I chastise all law enforcement. Train with your gun, carry your gun 24/7. I would much rather be inconvenienced by carrying my gun for the rest of my life and never having to use it than be somewhere that I can't use it to defend myself or my loved ones and not have it.
Amen. You're absolutely right. Jeff Wininger.
Yeah, Chip, I'll share a rather embarrassing personal experience that I had when I was new on the job. I probably had a year on the job where I started out in Los Angeles, the LA County Sheriff's Department. And I played it as an LAPD, LA Sheriff's combined ice hockey team. And we played a charity hockey game up in the Valley. And I was driving home afterwards, and I was on the 405 freeway, and I love ice cream. I had a hankering for ice cream. So I got off the freeway and I went to a Baskin Robbins, and I go in there. There's the clerk, myself, two other individuals, a male and a female. And this kind of piggybacks on what the sheriff was saying. You have to be aware of what's going on around you and don't blow things off. If things don't feel right, they're not right. So what occurred was, I said, go ahead and order. They went ahead and ordered. They ordered one scoop of vanilla ice cream and a Baskin Robbins. Then they paid for it. The female left with that, leaving the male in there. That should have put hair up on the back of my neck, but it didn't. And then he went ahead and said, go ahead and order. I go ahead and order. Right when the register opens up, out comes the gun. He pushes me back. He puts the gun in the clerk's face and he robs the place. And he turns to me to rob me. Well, guess what I did? I had my gun, but I stuck it underneath my car seat. So I'm looking out the front window, looking at my car parked with my gun underneath my car seat with now a gun pointed at my face, and I'm getting robbed as this store is getting robbed. And I'm a law enforcement officer. So that was a lesson learned, and I share that. Yes, that was embarrassing. I learned a lot from that. I could share that experience. I shared it with all of my probationary officers when I was a training officer, and roll calls when I was a sergeant, as well as a lieutenant, as the commanding officer of various watches that I oversaw. But that just underscores the importance of what the sheriff is just saying. You know, you want to carry your gun, and you have to be aware of what's going on. And if it doesn't feel right, then it's not.
Yeah. That's a great story. You know, and I like the fact, and I appreciate you sharing that, because we all know that. I mean, look, we're here and we want people to learn. We cover a lot of stories. We cover hundreds of stories, right? And some people think that we're maybe overly critical, but if we can just save one life or help an officer be better, just by some of the stuff we say, and a lot of times we're critical of ourselves, like what Jeff just did in the story that he didn't even have to volunteer. You know, so thanks for sharing that. I've shared some stories about some really dumb stuff I did when I, but you know what? I always have said that there are two types of people, because we all make mistakes, right? But some of us learn from our mistakes and some of us absolutely don't. And that's one deciding factor I've always felt. And I'd like to be the guy known for learning from his mistakes, because I've certainly made plenty and will continue to.
It goes back to what we were talking about when he first got on the show and the sheriff was talking about the importance of debriefing everything, and that there's no incident that you're going to be involved in that everything goes perfectly. There's always something you can improve upon. So don't keep that so close to your chest that other people can't learn from your mistakes. I've made a bundle of mistakes throughout my career, but I'm willing to acknowledge it and I'm willing to share it, even if it's embarrassing, because if it just benefits one guy, then it's worth it.
So I think that it goes without saying that it's the sheriff's turn to share an embarrassing story.
Not mine. I was just going to say, this is not a new concept, because if you go back to, I believe it was probably in the 1970s, that one of the first Dirty Harry movies, Harry Callahan walks into the coffee shop to get his morning coffee, and he's kind of half paying attention. And the guy fills his coffee about three quarters of the way full with sugar, and he takes it black, and he walks out, and then he comes back in and interrupts the robbery. Be aware of what's going on around you, and you know, get your head on a swivel, especially these days.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we talk about this stuff on the show. Thanks, gentlemen. Coming up on our third commercial break, we're going to be talking about GunLearn.com. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, it's law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, if you're chief or sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity, and you can go to GunLearn.com to get more info. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. And my name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, the Law Enforcement Talk Show. We are joined by Sheriff Mark Crowder. I changed your name and gave you promotion too, Sheriff. But Sheriff Mark Crowder, all the way from Walla Walla County, Washington State, also former LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Winninger. And he also has On Thin Ice book that just came out. So Betty Dunn just typed in, and she said, "A wise man learns from the mistakes of others. My granddaddy told me that." So your granddaddy stole that line from me, Betty Dunn, is all I got to say. He stole that from me. I want credit for that quote. Okay. So anyhow, if you guys are ready, I know that we were talking about a shooting in San Francisco as a previous one. I know that we were talking about the cop that got kind of ambushed inside the Circle K. Any more commentary on that? Just guys, keep your heads on the swivel. I think that we all would agree with that. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Body cam shows a San Francisco officer shooting a suspect who lunged at him with scissors.
You all right? Come over here. Let's get. This is cars. Let's go over here. What's that? Hey, I'm back. Hey, watch out. Drop it.
So this is, I found this very interesting. The San Francisco Police Department, they gave new info out at a town hall about a police shooting of a guy named Juan Antonio Serrato. The shooting happened back on September the 4th at Highway 101. And Serrato, our bad guy, was listed in stable condition at the local hospital. But the incident starts when a San Francisco sheriff's deputy observes Serrato. He's walking northbound. He's on the freeway, but he's on the shoulder of the freeway, and it's 11:08 in the morning. So it's getting close to noon, middle of the day. The deputy pulls over to make contact with their subject as a San Francisco police are also alerted to this guy walking on the freeway. And now passerbys are saying that he's got a sharp object in his hand. So police, they play 3 911 calls from drivers reporting that this guy had actually jumped over a retaining wall to get on the freeway. And then he's just, you know, walking down the side of the freeway. So as a police officer arrives on the scene, they see the sheriff's deputy walking up the off ramp towards our bad guy, Serrato, which is walking towards him. So an officer attempts to make contact with the person saying, "Hey, get off the highway because there are cars." Doesn't seem like the officer giving commands is aware of the object in the bad guy's hand. And I got to admit, our bad guy is walking with one heck of a limp. I don't know, but you know, there is a video or surveillance video of the guy jumping over this wall to get on the freeway, and he was limping then. So it looks like he wasn't injured jumping over the wall to get on the freeway is where I'm going. He was already injured, or maybe it was a thing from birth. I don't know, but he definitely had an issue walking. So our bad guy starts to limp towards the cop that's telling him to get off the freeway. And at that point, our cop notices that the dude's got scissors in his freaking hand while he's hopping towards the cop, but he's hopping at a fast rate, and he's making downward stabbing motions while he's hopping towards our cop. So an officer identified as Michael Scott, who's assigned to the Ingleside station, he stands on the other side of an off-ramp barricade as our bad guy, Serrato, is lunging at this officer who had approached him. Now, it's important to point out that when our officer sees this dude coming at him with a knife, our officer turns and runs. And as he's running, he's telling the other officer that's on the other side of this concrete barrier, "Hey, watch out, watch out." But the officer, it doesn't appear that he stands his ground. Well, he definitely doesn't stand his ground. He turns around and runs away, but you don't see his gun till later. So this officer that he tells to watch out, this officer draws his gun and he ends up firing, and the bad guy goes down. And then finally our officer running away turns around, draws his weapon. He yells for the bad guy that dropped the knife. And at that point they drop the edged weapon, and he drops the scissors to the ground. And then of course he ends up in the hospital, and it looks like he's going to survive the shooting. I think it's important to point out, there are certain benefits if the officer that initially stopped our bad guy had taken action, and I'm talking about lethal action, because it's all about the backdrop, right? And so, and we've seen from videos and covering shootings and stuff that not officers are always aware of the backdrop, right? But we have seen some amazing shoots for officers. We have seen shoots where officers have shot bad guys, and when the backdrop changed to where you've got an innocent civilian or traffic going, he'll hold until it clears, and then he's got a brick wall as a backdrop, and he'll start engaging again. So I've seen some officers do some fantastic things, but I do want to point out that the backdrop changed during this. It was different for Officer One, and then it certainly was different from Officer Two, who ended up taking the shot. So, guys, we've got about a little over 4.5 minutes for commentary. Jeff, you want to start us off on this one?
Yeah, I think unfortunately that this CHP officer was focusing more on what he deals with on a daily basis, which is enforcement of traffic laws and the efficient flow of vehicular traffic on the freeways, because he didn't handle this as you would expect a police officer, knowing that this guy was a suspect involved in a hot prowl. And because that was the initial report that was given by the person calling in initially. And then that was him fleeing where he jumped the wall, and then he ended up on the freeway. So this just wasn't some guy that was walking on the freeway and perhaps was, you know, at risk of being injured himself or causing a traffic accident or what have you. And this officer just didn't approach this with the level of tactical prowess that he should have. He didn't recognize a threat. And, you know, like you had mentioned, initially the background in the event that this did escalate to where lethal force would be necessary was optimal compared to the vantage point from the officer that ultimately ended up firing his weapon. We had the background of all the vehicles that were on the freeway. And when, you know, the national average is at a we have a hit rate of about 30%, you know, you don't necessarily feel comfortable with that. Now, that doesn't change the fact, if you have a scenario, and police officers are trained to this, background only matters or is to be evaluated when you have a fleeing felon. If you have an incident where somebody's at risk of immediate bodily injury or death, you have to respond. And yes, if you're, you know, highly trained and very skilled, you'll see officers do exactly what you did. They'll move themselves, they'll try to create a better background, or they'll wait, or what have you. But in this instance, it didn't appear that this officer really had much of a choice. And you just had officers that were just on two different pages of music. And all that I can say is the initial officer that made the contact didn't appear to take into consideration the potential volatility that this suspect brought to the table based on why these guys were called there. And because it was beyond just being on the freeway.
Yeah, interesting. Sheriff, don't worry. I don't think Jeff included you in that 30% comment, you know, for accuracy of fire. I don't think that he included you in that, but
well, he's obviously had a spy watching me shoot lately. So the more you sit behind the desk, the worse you get. But yeah, great assessment. The only thing I would add is that the officer that did engage the suspect showed some good restraint in the fact he fired that one shot, made an assessment that the suspect went down, and he avoided, you know, any bad things that could have happened. Number two, you don't know the level of competence of that officer, and if he felt comfortable taking that shot, good on him for training hard and being able to make that shot under duress. So yeah, I think some good things out of that. But yeah, Jeff's spot on with kind of not having that mindset when you show up to that call.
Yeah, you know, that first officer, in my opinion, he really put the second officer in a really potentially bad situation. I mean, the only upside is that he did yell at, hey, watch out, you know, as he's running away from the threat, you know, that's, you know, that. And so I don't know if the threat would have been able to take out officer number one if officer number two wouldn't have fired. It certainly wasn't a risk worth taking. That bad guy at that point, I think, was maybe just as close to both officers at that time, because, you know, that officer only had a retaining wall that was maybe what, thigh high, separating them. So wow. Well, for me, Jeff, it would have been, you know, waist high, but still, you know. Yeah,
you know, there was an incident with the LAPD. It was a number of years ago, and it was a guy that I worked Metropolitan Division with, and he had made sergeant. His name's Hector Feliciano, and he worked Rampart Division with me, and he responded to a call of an individual that was armed and took a female hostage at the Mexican consulate. And it's right by MacArthur Park. Oh, and crap. He arrives, and there's a unit on scene. And Hector, he makes a decision. And as a supervisor, he fired one round, put it right between the headlights, and the guy went down. And it was over. Now, a lot of people would want to be critical of that. But this piggybacks on what the sheriff said. You have to know what your competency levels are. Hector Feliciano had trained under Scotty Reitz, who was the firearms instructor.
Right.
With Metropolitan Division, and had the most elite firearms training you could ever have. And he wouldn't have taken that shot if he didn't.
Got to roll. All right. Thank you, Jeff, for that story. Hey, want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Thank you, gentlemen, for being on our show. Sheriff Mark Schweider and Lieutenant Jeff Winninger. A shout out to our sponsors, Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, Aero Precision USA, GunLearn, My Medicare, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells, and FisherLandoBass.com. Thanks for the support, guys. We'll look for you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.